B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
Good job on the offensive line. Some changes there. Backs did a hell of a job running the ball. They could not tackle you guys. Another 250 yards on the ground. Hey. Receivers blocking, backs running, line blocking. I mean, you know, did a lot of good things there.
Defensively, turn the ball over. You know, scored on defense.
Complimentary football. Score, kick off, tackle him inside the 10, get a holding or get a block and a back penalty, strip sack for a touchdown. That's what I'm talking about, complimentary football. All right, all three units working together. All right, that was a good week. All right, we need another good week here going to Kansas City. We need our best game, okay? We haven't had it yet. We need it. It's time to come through.
You can't take anything for granted, fellas. No day for granted.
There's no problem on the
centuries. However, although, be that as it may.
Rexford and Co.
Yeah. Okay, toting the bill. Okay, I like when we tote the bill. So how do we feel about victory number two?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Go ahead and give us a call at 617-779-0985 if you so choose. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub application at any of your app stores. Also, you can watch the show on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. They give you a handy email reminder of when we are on and also when the replay comes to life right after the show. So you can go ahead and get on that. Talking to John about our various days yesterday. My son had two friends spend the night on Sunday night. And so sleeping, and it's funny because I'm so tired. I'm so very tired all the time because now I'm getting up at like 4-ish when before I got up at 5-ish. So now I'm getting up at 4 and I do things in the morning. And so I was very tired and I went to sleep with the sound of kids, you know, talking so loud. Kids talk so effing loud. It's unbelievable. And then I went to meditate last night, and my wife and son had gone out to someone's house for the kip.
Yesterday was the kip.
Yeah.
Today it's the poor.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the day of, it's the kip. See, the day before, it's the yom.
I understand.
Day of, it's the kip.
Right.
Day after, it's the poor.
Okay.
So Yom Kippur, but yeah, but so they were out for the poor, and then they got into a brand new hot tub, because they had to,
right?
And then just the volume of them speaking, and then I realized I was getting irrationally upset just at the volume of people speaking. It's just this constant loud volume, and so I'm supposed to a journal, which I don't do, but that's supposed to be something that I do. And as I was writing, the pen seemed to take over my hand, and it was just like a manifesto of how angry I was at the volume of people speaking. So I sequestered myself at the most private part of the house to sleep last evening. I went to bed around 8:45.
Top floor.
And just and basically
in the hopper.
Because I was like, I am no good to anybody. I have to remove myself from people because this is infuriating me. I didn't say anything, but it was infuriating me. Just the pure volume of speaking in how loud it is. And it was my daughter and I. My daughter and I have seemed to have formed like a little sect in the house.
An alliance.
An alliance. Yeah. And then my daughter and son seem to have an alliance now of being very loud. And my daughter and I are much more, we like to be silent. Mm-hmm. I can be silent with her.
Was it Fortnite Festival that you had at the house?
For some reason, he doesn't play Fortnite anymore. He just said, I'm not playing. Which is not necessarily a good thing. Because my house goes straight up. There's not a lot of places like on the same floor to go. So if you're on the same floor as someone, you're right with them. But he would go to the third floor to play Fortnite, and now he's not doing that. So there is, but you know, it's not like we're all watching the same thing on television or all, you know, doing something together. They're still on devices, but mm-hmm. we're just all in the same room. But he has it that he is no longer going to, that he's no longer into Fortnite. I don't know what they were doing. Who knows what they were doing?
Well, what's weird is that, you know, my kids are still into, like, Roblox, which is an online video game that they play with their friends. But,
yep.
you know, with their iPads, sometimes I'll be going past the room and I'll hear, like, a grown man's voice coming out of the room. I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then I'll realize it's, like, one of his friend's dads, like, talking to them, but it's still a jarring moment because you're wondering, are they talking to my kid? No, okay, they're just having a discussion with their own kid, but because these things are just cranked, it sounds like there's a man in their room at any given moment. But they love that. Like, that's the one thing that they, you know, they would fight and kill to play online video games with their friends.
Constant, yep. The Roblox, and it's not, Roblox isn't just one game. There are a bunch of games, like Arsenal.
It's a million games.
You can even, like, make your own restaurant and build your own house. I mean, well, I don't know why.
Yeah,
you
my daughter
do that,
plays that. I thought that was a girl game.
No, but my kids had the phase with that too.
But I thought it was like you make a kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's different ones. There's ones, and then there's ones where you're robbing banks, and you're
right.
It's almost like a little mini version of Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's one where there's like a killer Ronald McDonald that chases you down. Like,
oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's actually kind of rad.
I haven't seen that one.
That one's all right.
There's like murder mystery where you could be a guest or the murderer. I've seen that one.
Ooh, it's like an episode of every crappy sitcom that went on too long. They go to a murder mystery place.
Yep, that's right.
There was one on Saved by the Bell. There was every sitcom eventually goes to a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Even The Simpsons had a murder mystery. Whoa, that's like an evening out for the PTO. Whenever they have like an auction and they're like, would you like to go to the murder mystery dinner? No, mm-hmm. I would rather slit my wrists than go to your murder mystery dinner. But yes, they're too much talking. It's gotten into my psyche. It's gotten into the back of my brain. Not good. Too much of it. Everyone needs to pipe down, is what I'm saying. Pipe down. There's no escaping. It's just, you be quiet. Exhausted is what I am.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the days when you used to just turn on Friday night videos and stay up all night?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Friday night videos?
Yes, I do. Well, my kids are watching, Step by Step and Saved by the Bell, and they're like, what did you watch when you were my age? And I watched, obviously, a ton of television. I mean, everyone knows that. But it really was MTV videos. Like, that was at night. Like, because I don't know, because I watched a ton. I watched an assload of television. That's what I did. And I watched all those shows. But it does seem like, especially when I hit puberty, that MTV it was my girlfriend. It was my confidant. I mean, I had sex to it with myself, you know, numerous times a day.
Every Saturday night, Headbangers Ball. It was just always on. You would watch that. You know what it was? It was MTV and it was USA Up All Night with Ron DeShear and Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. Ron DeShear, I could take Ron DeShear. Ron DeShear was the ultimate, does personality matter? Because once the act was complete with Ron DeShear, it was turn it off. How old, Gilbert Godfrey was on the 1980 cast of Saturday Night Live.
Jeez.
So, I mean, he's got to be really old. I mean, he's got to be like 80.
All right, let me take a look. Because, I mean, now that you're saying that.
I'm looking already. Oh, he's not nearly as old as you think he is. He's only 65.
65.
Wow, so if you were hanging around New York, you just got on Saturday Night Live in 1980.
Apparently.
Ebersole just casted you right on it. Yeah, that's...
He was 30 back then, right?
No, that's 40 years ago.
No, in 80, he was 25.
Okay.
Yeah, 25.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anthony, go ahead.
Fred, how's it going? Glad to have you back, man.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I get the battle you got. I got two boys. I got a 12 and 9-year-old. They don't know how to talk inside of a house anymore. They seem to be talking on the moon, across the moon. Had a full-out temper tantrum from my 9-year-old. He was screaming profusely, coming from the basement. Sounded like somebody was pulling his teeth out, and all-out tantrum because I had enough and had to shut it down. So I get where you're coming from. It's not just you. It's everywhere now, man.
Yeah, because what I wrote is a little disturbing. I would read it on the air, but I'm not allowed to. But it's almost just a sea of anger. And by the way, when the three boys were talking, like I wasn't paying attention because I got home and like ate lunch around them because they displaced about half the water out of the hot tub by jumping into it and broke everything off of it. So, but what am I mean, they're 12-year-old boys. I mean, what am I going to do? Get mad? I mean, that's just what 12-year-old boys do. And then I heard them talking, and everything they were saying was wrong. Like, every sports thing they were saying was wrong. Everything about girls was wrong. Like, everything was just wrong. Like, they didn't know anything. Just everything. I was not in the mood to... You tell them not to say something, nor was I in the mood to correct them, nor did I think it was my place to do any of those things. So it was just this obscenity-laced 5 minutes of just wrong. Like, everything was wrong. Every take on girls was wrong. You could tell so easily when they were lying. Like, everything, like, it just is amazing. Like, your BS detector, apparently, with this group of kids is zero. Because they're just lying the day away. And then I guess when I was 12 and 13, I just constantly lied. I probably still do. But, I mean, oh, Lord. And using swears wrong and everything else. And then there's swears I haven't heard, really. I just assume there's swears. I don't know. It's just, there was a lot. Just a lot.
But you got the stuff down in your journal. You siphoned off some of that anger.
Oh, no. It was still very much there. The journal served no purpose.
How do you, okay, what kind of measures do you take to hide that journal so no one else in the family finds
it? I keep it right in my bag, right by the front door.
Because kids find
everything. Good, read it. Read it. Enough. Just read it. If you want to read it, read it. Go ahead. By the way, I've written in it like 3 times since I've been home. But go ahead. If you want to open that up, and you want to get into that? Go ahead.
Because when you're 12, you got nothing but time. Well, like, I knew where everything in my house was.
Oh, so did I. And much to my chagrin, there was never even a Playboy. But yes, I knew where I know exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I figured out how to get in the safe. I knew everything.
All you got's time.
Yep. I went around. Well, yeah. But we were raised in a different era where there wasn't constant activity, which is what my children have, but I know what you're saying. When I was a kid, I was like you. I was an only child, too, so you can only imagine. I knew every inch of that house. Everything that was going on.
There was a, like, hidden passage that went from one closet in one room to another that I don't think my parents ever knew about. So I could go into one room, go into the closet, climb through this hole that went into the other closet, and listen in on people's conversations. And I don't think they ever knew about it.
Oh, that's heaven.
Oh, it was great.
You know what's funny is that was happening yesterday. Like, my wife and son were in the hot tub, and I could hear them because I was in a silent room. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to hear what they were saying. I was trying everything in my mind to just block it out. It was the opposite of every instinct I've ever had. I just didn't want to hear what they were saying. I just didn't want to hear it. I just was trying to block it all out. But, yeah, oh, a secret passageway. That That's like the kind of stuff that I have dreams about.
Yeah, that was great. Because it was way in the back of like this kind of longer closet. And it was a hole that I don't know why it was there. But you could crawl right through it and end up in the backside of the other person's closet.
That's pretty cool.
We used it one time to scare the crap out of my little sister because my brother went in there and pretended he was E.T. and scared the snot out of her.
But the jig was up. He gave up the...
It was our parents that didn't know about it. So, yeah.
Aha. Mm-hmm. I see. You could watch them knocking the boots.
It wasn't their bedroom. It was like it was my little sister's room.
Oh.
But like...
Would your aunt stay there and you could watch them knock the boot?
Never did that.
No
one ever stayed at our house. We had people like shoved in drawers. We had so many kids, so it wasn't like there was a ton of room. Not a lot of guests staying at our house.
Okay. I was going to say, if they had family friends over, you could watch them knock in the boot. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, well, it looks like the Patriots are going to have their hands full next week, and we do have a Stanley Cup champion and one of the more awkward Stanley Cup of Trophy award-winning ceremonies ever.
I did not know that was on last night. I woke up this morning and saw that there was a new Stanley Cup champion. We'll have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Dutcher and Rich.
And at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, the Patriots, they got one tough Sunday ahead of them.
Tight hip, fake to Williams. They're going to throw a corner pattern for Tyreek Hill. Reaches up and grabs it. Touchdown, Kansas City. A 20-yard touchdown, burning Marcus Peters for the second time tonight.
Well, what was sold as the best regular season game of the year ended up being somewhat of a lopsided one, with the Chiefs easily taking care of the Ravens 34-20. And in the battle of the MVP quarterbacks, there was one who was far and away the better of the two.
Snaps it back to the waist of Mahomes, retreating into the pocket. Marlon Humphrey on a blitz. Deep throw down the middle. Hardman wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City, a 49-yard bomb.
He's in some isolation booth. Jesus.
You don't think he's at the stadium?
He might, yeah, I'm thinking about it now. Yeah, he's at the stadium, but they're in some chamber. I mean, you can't hear anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there were any fans there last night, were there? I don't think, yeah, Baltimore had no fans, so, yeah. I mean, he's just by himself there, but, I mean, Mahomes was just absurd. Yeah, he dominated Baltimore yesterday, and his release is... Like, you can't blitz him because he'll find a way to kill you. He's one of the more impossible guys to plan against. And next week's going to be insane. He was 31 of 42 for 385 yards, four touchdowns, all four of them to different players. He also ran in a fifth score, scrambled four times for 26 yards.
By the way, Rich,
yeah.
He became the fastest to 10,000 career passing yards last night. He went over 10,000 passing yards in 34 games. That's about 300 yards a game.
Can you imagine if he was a shortstop?
For his entire career.
Can you imagine if he still played baseball and he was a shortstop? The things he'd be doing.
Man, watching him and Russell Wilson every week, it's like, how can two people be impossibly good?
Russell Wilson's a baseball player, too. I guess maybe that's the secret, is get a guy that was an elite baseball player and pop him in. But Mahomes is just so much. We were talking about it off the air because we were talking about what the Patriots can do. And I mean, the Chargers managed to run the ball and whatever. And that was Mahomes looked confused in that game. But
take a ton of time off the clock.
Yeah,
keep Mahomes on the sideline.
But the thing is, and then we talked about that. And then if I'm because, you know, Andy Reid's going to he's got such craziness that he I mean, you know, wide receivers in the backfield, shovel passes. To,
oh, my God.
That wasn't a shovel pass. That was a softball pitch.
It was
what
crazy.
That was.
And on top of that,
regardless
too, it's like,
of the delivery, yeah, you get what I'm saying. But yes. Then so the thing is that, okay, well, we'll just sit on the ball and then Kansas City perfectly content with that. That's fine. And then I'll get the ball and I'll score in three plays. And then
well, that's the thing is it takes 2.5 minutes for them to score. Right. So you can do that. And every team has tried to do that. You run the ball, kill the clock. And then Mahomes like, all right. And then he goes in. And next thing you know, touchdown. And I the speed that those guys are able to attack. But I mean, he was unbelievable. And like Russell Wilson a couple weeks ago, I mean, the Patriots are going to have to play flawless in the secondary against Patrick Mahomes, and that might not even be good enough. And even Bill Belichick, he knows that, and he was talking a little bit about that yesterday when he was asked about this weekend.
Well, I mean, they're really good. You know, it starts with an MVP quarterback, great offensive coordinator, head coach. You know, Andy does a tremendous job putting pressure on the defense. A lot of good skill players, a lot of experienced players. You know, I think the back's a big weapon for him, both in the running game and in the passing game. You know, there's no one guy you can key on, or there's no one guy that's going to stop this offense. We're going to have to, you know, play well collectively as a team.
I mean, he's right. I mean, yesterday, as I was saying, it was four different guys catching touchdowns yesterday. And Lamar Jackson, he didn't – something's off with him. He was disappointing. In the first half, he was just 7 of 15 for 35 yards. He ended up finishing with just like 15 of 28 for 97 yards. He had a touchdown and a lost fumble. He scrambled a decent amount. I think he scrambled 9 times, had almost like 80 yards, which was nice. But he was also almost picked on two occasions.
Yeah, there's no comparison between him and Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is just another level. Mahomes is looks like he's going to be an all-time great. And Lamar Jackson, Randall Cunningham. I mean, Randall Cunningham had a great career, but he's not Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is a totally different player, a totally different echelon of quarterback.
Yeah, don't forget, Mahomes is hurt last year. Yeah. I think if Mahomes had a full season and was not running around and gimpy for part of it, the MVP voting might have been a little different.
There's absolutely no debate. You couldn't find one person in the NFL that would take Jackson over Mahomes.
No. I mean, Mahomes over anybody. I don't think there's any player in this league that most people would take over. I mean, I Russell Wilson and him, that's it. It's like those two guys are just on a completely different level than everyone else in the NFL.
Lucky Patriots, they get to face him twice in the first week.
And then Aaron Rodgers, though, puts his head up. If you watch Aaron Rodgers' highlights, because I don't watch a lot of Green Bay games, but he does things that are just like woofy.
Well, he's back. Like, he's having a renaissance. Like, this year's been awesome for him.
He makes throws that you're like, ah.
It's amazing what happens when your future, the guy who's about to replace you, gets drafted.
Yeah, when you finally stop being such an a-hole, maybe for a day, and actually commit to yourself.
Or you dump the old ball and chain, as they say, you know. Danica Patrick is no longer in the picture.
Ooh, well, he's not distracted with that eye candy. Hi, Danica Patrick. I think Danica Patrick, though, got her boobies done.
Oh, really? Did not know that.
I saw a picture of her and I thought, I wonder if she had her boobies done. But I'll have to investigate further.
Okay.
Well, I'll be back in a week. No, but well, I just thought it was so funny when Dana Patrick, because it was like a cool story. She's a female, you know, NASCAR driver or Indy driver, whatever she was at the time. And you go, oh, okay, that's cool. And then they were like, ooh la la, here's like a Super Bowl ad. Dana Patrick's going to take her shirt off. You know, like, of all the women in the planet, this is the woman that you're putting out there is eye candy? Come on.
And then you got, like, Olivia Munn, his other girlfriend, like, talking trash on, well, not specifically naming Aaron Rodgers, but basically saying that one of her famous ex-boyfriends was just awful in the sack. And so maybe that's inspired him, you know.
Then why'd she date him if he wasn't? I mean, you got to teach Olivia Munn. I mean, you were with Nick on New Girl for half a season. And you were a stripper on that show, and you taught him the ways of sex. Why couldn't you do the same for Aaron Rodgers?
So here we go. This Sunday, 425. Patriots Chiefs, by the way, speaking of 425, next week's Patriots Broncos game was moved from 1 o'clock to that time. Boo! But I guess it's better than a night game. And, of course, you can hear those both here at 98.5 The Sports.
425 is all right. Yeah, that gives you most of your Sunday instead of a 1 o'clock game right in the middle of it.
What do I got to do anyway?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, like, what am I going to do?
Right.
And 425, it's all the same. The only thing is the night games is going to bed. So you pop that on any time on a Sunday. That's fine with me. 425, that's going to be an awful game.
It's going to be so boring. It's going
to be good. I can't think of a more uninteresting team than the Broncos right now.
Yep. They're just bad, but not interesting bad. They're just there, and it's just going to be a boring game. Maybe as boring as last week's game. As boring as Sunday's game. Who knows? Because Sunday's game was a bit of a slog there in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Not jumping off the page. As interesting as it is, this Patriots team with the newfangled quarterback and the new way of running the offense, there is an awful lot of...
running.
Yes.
A lot of running. Get used to it, because that's what's going to happen this Sunday. A lot of running.
A lot of running from Cam Newton.
Yep.
A lot of running.
A lot of handing the ball off to a wide array of running backs.
Yes, they have five.
Maybe a couple swing passes to James White.
Again, not a lot of balls, running backs.
Not a lot of balls being thrown downfield.
No, but there's a constant rotation of running backs, so you can keep,
handing the ball off to a fresh guy.
And
be like Gruden, when one guy gets tired, they bring in a fresh guy.
Well, you could play the game at home. You could see how often you can identify the running back on the field.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tiny guy.
That's right. That's J.K.
Then there's
Taylor.
Two dudes that look the kind of the same in uniform, and then there's the white guy. And
there's the new guy, Damian Harris.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Him and Sony Michel, I would imagine that it's a little difficult to tell in uniform who is who.
Because, same build, same size type of thing?
And then there's the tiny guy, and then there's the white guy.
That's Rex Burkhead, yep.
Right, and then there's James White, who we all know. So there you go. Maybe that's the game to play at home. It was the running back.
Patriots running back bingo.
Yeah. Because outside of Burkhead, it's not obvious.
I see.
And then you, except for the tiny guy. But you can only tell in the huddle if it's the tiny guy. Because when they're in the backfield, it's hard to say.
Silly me, I just looked at uniform numbers. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, you can't tell the uniform number if, when it's a sideline camera. I mean, you can't see the uniform number, so there you go. That's what I'm going to do at home.
Okay.
That's my new hobby. And then I'll write in my journal. All right, Rich, what do we talk about next?
Do you want to hear Lightning play-by-play guy Dave Mishkin's head explode?
I do, because everyone was so... I'm sure the ratings were just huge for the Stanley Cup Final. We'll hear all about the Stanley Cup Final, something that I was unaware was on last night. I woke up this morning, popped on the old ESPN, and there it was. So we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, for Touch Rich. Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Touch and Rich. Rich, there was hockey last night.
Yes, and are you ready to hear Tampa Bay Lightning play-by-play man Dave Mishkin's head explode?
Who dropped down the left wing at center. Across the blue line, pulls up at the left point. Works to point, high slot.
Shoot it.
Point, shoot, save, made, rebound, score!
Yes!
Point! Braden Point! Power play goal! 1-0
yes.
Lightning!
Wake up, Esposito. Well, there was no doubt
shoot.
That.
Yes.
Shoot. Well, I mean, if that's how it sounded just for the first goal, let's see how it sounded for when they win the whole thing.
Right point, Klingberg shoots. Blocked! It's out of the zone! It's in the neutral zone! He stuck his left! Buckley Goodrow after it! Shoots wide, right of the open net. Time ticks down! The Lightning with the Stanley Cup! They've reached the top of the mountain. They are the Stanley Cup champs.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
That's right, Phil.
Because he didn't see half the game.
He ain't the best color man in the league for nothing,
fairness,
folks.
In fairness, I don't want to be... Because everyone always attacks me for this, but I think he wrote that out beforehand.
looks at his hand, which is one word. Wow.
Yeah, he's like... He sat, all night pacing. What should I say?
Wow. Well, Vasilevsky was great. He pitches a shutout, and the Lightning win the Stanley Cup in six games over the Stars. So the Bruins have now been eliminated 2 years in a row by the eventual Stanley Cup champion, Victor Hedman. He won the Conn Smythe. And if you think a Stanley Cup trophy ceremony would be really weird in front of no crowd. It was. They didn't even pump in fake booing for Gary Bettman, which was, of course, the disappointment of the evening. There was pyro, but no applause. And you know the skate that each player does holding up the cup where they hand it off? They start with the captain. You know, each one last night held it for like 10 seconds and then passed it on because it was just so weird.
Like, they just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Really. It was really strange. I mean, Bettman comes out there and it's like quiet. And then when the fireworks went off, you could like hear the popping of the fireworks and there was no crowd there to applaud. I mean, it's cool because obviously the guys were very emotional after they had won it. But Lightning coach John Cooper, he kind of put things in perspective last night on just how odd this whole postseason was.
I miss my anniversary. I miss birthdays. I miss youth hockey tournaments. I miss my girl make the swim team. I miss the opening day of school. I go down the list of the things that have happened. The whole baseball season took place during our time in the bubble. And it's Gary Bettman said it right when he handed off the trophy to our team. You kind of laugh it off saying, oh, this would be the toughest one to win. Anybody that played in this bubble, the 24 teams will tell you this was the toughest one to win.
I mean, it was awesome that we got hockey for a few months, but the conclusion was undeniably weird.
We're not going home!
Unfortunately, Antonio Dobin, you are going home. Yeah. I mean, you can loiter there for a while, but eventually...
The hockey and baseball seemed just... It didn't register with me. Now, part of that probably was the Bruins were finished by the time I was out of rehab, and so... That was just whatever. I didn't feel a great deal of sorrow for that. The hockey did seem odd, and especially from a Bruins perspective when you had your starting goaltender leave.
Yeah.
And all of that. Like, the whole thing seemed weird. It seemed like kind of a rip-off season, but... And baseball seems the exact same way. I mean, I can't recall the last time I didn't watch a Cardinal game that I could, but I don't know if I'm going to turn that on tomorrow at 5.
The presentation, I believe, with the NBA was better. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. The hockey was... I loved watching it, and they did the best they could do. But there is something, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I was so against this when it all first started. There is something about the doing the best you can to create a live environment sound and look. And the NBA had that. Like, I mean, you know, even those stupid faces of, you know, digital faces that were on there and the crowd noise, it felt more real. And the hockey thing yesterday especially, I mean, if you should do yourself a favor, go back and watch it. It's really strange. I mean, having this massive celebration, one of the greatest moments in sports, and, like, they just all seemed like they just wanted to get out of there. And they're all probably, you know what? Winning it was probably double sweet because it was like, now we finally get the hell out of this bubble, which from everything I've read was a nightmare. They didn't get their families at any point down there like the NBA guys. They weren't able to work any of that out. So, you know, good for them all sticking through it. And anyone who puts an asterisk next to this is crazy. I think you deserve it almost even more going through all this and being able to pull it off.
You overcame the odds that were in front of you. It's just different.
Yeah. No,
it's not an asterisk in so much that it's just different. It just was a completely weird thing. The NBA, I have no sympathy for the NBA. I mean, they get to go out there. They get to do whatever the hell they want. They're at a resort. And, you know.
Yeah, the NHL players had it much worse.
The NHL players apparently sucked.
And then it really sucked because they had the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton, and the amenities in Edmonton were not nearly as good as the amenities that the Eastern Conference had in Toronto.
Plus the crowd, if it's a physical game and everything else that go, you had this stupid round robin getting into it. It just was weird. So, well, congratulations to Tampa Bay. They can have it.
Speaking of that, Fred, the Bruins reportedly offered Torrey Krug $6.5 million a year for the next 6 years. That's according to TSN's Frank Saravalli. That would add up to like $39 million over the next 6 years. That's just a $1.2 million raise from what he's currently getting. But according to our friend Rear Admiral, who I think we're going to have on later in the show, Krug's camp that says, "Nope, not interested in such a deal." The Bruins have just under $14.5 million in cap space this summer, and they still got to figure out what they're going to do with restricted agents like Jake DeBrusque, Matt Grizzlick. I don't know if there's any other guys. Those are just the first two names that I could think of. But if you want a real juicy rumor, TSN's Bob McKenzie, who of course is like the Adrian Wojnarowski of the NHL, he tweeted this yesterday, quote, "Imagine my surprise when I started making calls today and heard Jack Eichel trade rumors, including unverified chatter that he may at some point recently requested a trade out of Buffalo and that the Rangers were amongst interested teams. This, of course, required further investigation. And to that, our own Ty Anderson added, quote, "For what it's worth, I was told the Bruins were among teams in communication. No clue how they'd possibly pull it off, but hey, let's have fun and get weird."
Yeah, all right, I have two things about the Bruins. One, they would have to blow Buffalo out of the water to such a degree to get Eichel that it would be insanity.
You know how much Eichel's making? He's making $10 million a year.
Yes, so there's a million obstacles, but also for Buffalo to make a deal with the Bruins. And by the way, if you're Buffalo, this sucks again because you can't have nice things. They just want, I mean, Buffalo.
Well, we've discussed how Buffalo is not exactly a destination. And the other thing about Eichel is not only is he making $10 million a year, he's making $10 million a year for the next six seasons.
Yes.
So you have him under your control. It's going to take an enormous amount to get him. And I don't know if the Bruins can get, you know.
The Bruins.
I don't even know if they can. In the division, which Buffalo, you got to face this guy four or five times a season, not to mention in the playoffs, and he's under control, and he's making so much money. I don't know if the Bruins could even get in the room with other teams.
Yeah, because
if that actually happens.
And off the top of my head, in major sports, I can't think of a market that players don't want to go to more than Buffalo in the NHL. And then secondly, Sweeney's wants to do a lot this offseason. He's going to go one of two ways, and he's either going to dismantle or he's going to do something, because he's got to move a bunch of salaries around, and we'll see.
Yeah. Well, Fred, but just the fact that they're in on this, like, you know, as Ty said, they're one of the teams that's been in communication with Buffalo about that. That says to me that they're willing to make drastic moves. I mean, that's just... You're right. With $10 million and what you'd have to give up and switch around to do that, I mean, that would change the entire composure of this team.
6 years and $60 million bucks still to pay to this guy. I mean, he's a stud. He scored, what, 35, 40 goals this season?
Yeah.
And they didn't even finish a full season. I mean, I think he had 36 or something like that.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It's
23.
Pasternak, McAvoy, and I hope Bergeron, and I think that everyone else, they're just going to be like, okay. They don't want to get rid of Marchand, but I think that they would. I think that they would do an awful lot. I think that they got probably two guys, three guys that they're unwilling to move, and the rest that they would very much look into it. Because if they keep their core, what's the outcome? I mean, if you keep your core, if you're the Bruins,
that's the question. Yeah, do you want one more run at this thing or not?
Or, John, what if you keep Carlo, McAvoy, DeBrusque, Grizzlick, and you sign these guys to multi-year deals? Are you going to be a cup contender? So, I mean, there's a lot to think about.
It depends on Rask, obviously. But, I mean, if you keep Rask and you sign all these guys, you have at least one more run at it.
I got news for you. I don't know what you guys have heard, but I don't think Rask is a part of the long-term future of this franchise, long-term meaning more than one season. So
I don't know if he wants to do more than one season.
I don't know what he wants.
I mean, he's even hinted that this might be the, you know, that he's, he what was the, what did he say that his heart might not be in it or
he
anything
left
like that?
During the playoffs. He left during the playoffs, and I don't care if I see him today. He left during the playoffs. And that's a big deal. A big deal. And so, I mean, if Rask doesn't leave the playoffs, I mean, there's a chance you beat Tampa Bay. It's just a lot there. There's a lot there. So we'll see what goes on with that. But I think the Bruins are in an odd situation because I think that you can sign your young pieces. And you had a lot there, and you decided to use all those picks, and you've got all these players, and if you keep them, what does that do for you? If you jettison, you got to jettison them in the right way. So they're going to try to be busy, and if they're not busy, it means that nothing worked out. So there you go. But
the fun thing about the NHL, by the way, the draft is next week.
I know.
And free agency starts a week from Friday.
I know.
Mean, it's all going to happen real fast.
Yeah, it's too quick.
Real soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
training camp
quick.
Starts in like a month, I think.
Yeah, it's way too quick.
By the way, it was cool seeing Stamkos out there. He did get to skate around with a trophy, which was nice, seeing that he didn't get to play that much at all.
But he played. He played the last two games, right?
I thought he played one game, got hurt, and didn't come back.
That's what it was. And I think it was game four, one of those two. But he played just for a little bit, and then he got hurt. But it was good to see him out there.
There you have it, Steven Stamkos. He'll never be the same.
He's still like 25, 26.
Yep.
He's been in the league forever.
Yeah,
no, I think he's 30, but he's been in the league like 20 years.
So yeah, he got into the league when he was 16 or something. Yeah. Yeah, he had a learner's permit when he first suited up.
Yeah, he played like under 3 minutes in game three.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was good to see him out there. I mean, obviously, I think that even Bruins fans love that guy.
You love him?
I respect the hell out of him. I don't love him.
Oh, no, he's a tough guy. Yeah. I still
he's
remember
the
that game.
Opponent. He's like in a Red Sox sense. He's like Derek Jeter.
He's the guy
that you respect the hell of and wish the hell he was on your team.
But is he overrated like Jeter?
No, he's not. He's not overrated.
One of the most overrated
Stamkos
players.
Is the goods. Yeah.
I just remember the Eastern Conference Finals when the Bruins ended up winning the cup that year was the year that Stamkos in that game seven got smacked in the teeth with the puck and he left the ice. And I remember I was at that game and at one point, like a couple minutes later, was maybe like 5 minutes later, I see a guy skating on the ice. I'm like, hang on, is that Steven Stamkos? And I had to take a look at one of the monitors that was there, and everyone thought that he was going to be gone for the rest of the game. Dude was just right back out there skating.
No, he's tough. He's a tough guy. He's a gamer. He's a good playoff performer. He's a tough kid. Tough guy. No question about it. But again, as much of a hockey fan as I am, I had absolutely no interest in the playoffs after the Bruins got out. None. I was like, all right, that was the bubble experiment. There you go. They're not going to play in a bubble again. They've already announced it as if it needed to be announced, and they're going to play, and they'll probably have fans in the majority of markets. I don't know if they'll do it here, but they'll have fans in the majority of markets. And there you go. And if you want me to do it again, I talked to a guy who's apparently involved in some way with the testing of the coronavirus vaccine, and he believes the vaccine will be available to frontline workers in November. So there you go. I'm wrong about that. I've been wrong about everything else.
I hope you're right.
But there you
awesome.
Go. That's what
great.
That's what the guy
we might
said.
Even see Rich before next summer.
I was in a car with him. And it was a conversation I had.
You bastards better get vaccinated.
Nope. Welcome back.
I don't think I can get conspiracy theories.
I either had it, or I can't get it. Because
you tried like hell and it hasn't worked out for you.
I can't get the coronavirus. I can't get it.
How do you know that?
I don't know. I talked to a guy. I was around him all the time and I didn't get the coronavirus from him. So, I mean, he had it. He was sitting right there. I was around him.
Oh, the guy in your first
My roommate
place
in rehab.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I roomed with a guy. I watched TV with him. I talked to him the whole time. I didn't get coronavirus.
That was the rehab facility that kept the guy with the coronavirus and kicked you out.
I don't
on the
know
street.
What they did with the guy with the coronavirus, but they didn't kick him out that night, to my knowledge.
But they kicked you out that night. That's the thing.
They did kick me out that night.
And they didn't give you your money back?
I don't know. I don't know how it worked. It was insurance. I had not given them any money. Unlike the other rehab where they charged my credit card while I was being admitted. So that happened right in front of me. That I remember. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.